RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, you've seen it, the bleary-eyed adolescents waiting for the bus, and you know that they just woke up, rolled out of bed, and ran out the house. But the fact is that a skipping breakfast can really make or break their day, their brain activity, everything. There are some faux pas we're going to talk about today with adolescents. Food faux pas. My guest is Dr. Lisa Asta. She's a clinical associate professor of pediatrics at the University of California at San Francisco. Welcome to the show, Dr. Asta. Let's talk about food faux pas, starting with breakfast. These kids get up, they run out of the house.
Absolutely.
So what do you do? I mean, you can't grab them by the hair and say, sit down and eat a meal. Now, my kids, I'm lucky because my 13-year-old and my 10-year-old still wake up early enough that I feed them yogurt, smoothie, fruit, eggs, waffles. I mean, we give them a good big breakfast every single morning. But I know as they get older and they don't want to wake up, it's going to be harder.
And this is one of those logical consequences things, and the child, the young adult has to come to the realization that I'm better if I eat, because there's only two things wrong with us at this age, which is everything we say and everything we do. So telling them to eat breakfast is not always that helpful. So, you know, you can kind of say, you know, was the day better if you eat, or is it worse if you eat? You know, and then you can, you know, suggest or have a plan or, you know, work collaboratively together to have ideas for what can you eat running out the door. I mean, they should get up and they should allow some time to eat in the morning. But if they don't, the second best is, you know, something out the door while they're walking to the bus stop. You know, ideally, if they're driving to school, they shouldn't be eating at the same time or applying their makeup.
See all of those things.
Yes, turkey in a wheat wrap, a yogurt. You know, the bars are pretty processed, but you could try to, you know, pick for something healthier. You can have, you know, an English muffin. You can have, you know, a bagel is five slices of bread and rather a lot of calories, but a bagel with some peanut butter on it. You can have a banana, which is amazingly portable. You can take any piece of fruit, really, and, you know, you can cut something up and put it in a Ziploc bag. You can make a smoothie. You know, and it's that motivation and that sort of realization that, gosh, my morning goes better if I actually eat something, that's going to motivate, you know, the young adult to make that positive choice for themselves. And we can,
you know,
only sort of put it there.
And a big thing you can do is really just get the kid up earlier so that they have time to have that English muffin and a yogurt, you know, to have that healthy food. And when you're talking about bars, you can hand them Kind bars, or really, they don't have a lot of really bad things in them. They're just honey and nuts and fruit, and they're pretty good, and the kids like them a lot. Bit sticky, might want to send them with a napkin. What about their, you know, junk food? Boy, teenagers and fast food. They just love their McDonald's and Burger King and everything. How do you kind of steer your teenager away from some of those?
Well, the foods are inexpensive. They're, you know, a social milieu. And they're engineered to have salt, sugar, and fat, which is what we all love. You know, you can point out other places, and, you know, I think the current generations may be seeing that there are other, you know, options. You know, certainly the traditional fast food, which is heavy on the meat, heavy on the French fries, and heavy on the sugared sodas, you know, hugely problematic for nutrition. You know, you can talk about how often, or you can not provide funding and support for it. You know, you can sort of just put information out there about more appropriate places to go. They are kind of going to do what their peer group does and morphs with. And, you know, I think all we can do is provide guidance, provide, you know, somewhat of, you know, limits and expectations. And again, you know, they will more predominantly spend any pocket money they have, you know, on this if this is a peer-related activity, and we can only sort of guide by example. We can choose not to purchase those foods for the household so that they limit the access, and it becomes, you know, a discussion about what is, if lunch is bought, you know, what is on offer and what are healthier choices, and to try to continue that educational nutrition education that we've started, you know, from when they were very young, and to lead by example.
That's true, and eating on the run is something that they do, and so you have to lead by example, and as you say, maybe not fund it, and if they're going to use their own money, well, you know, maybe you can just talk to them about how easy it is to choose the wrong things and how, you know, how easy it is to choose the right things and how they'll feel better when they eat a little bit healthier. What about snacking? Snacking, boy, kids snack all the time, even when you know they're not hungry, Dr. Asta. Teenagers will snack while they're studying, while they're watching TV, while they're texting, all the time.
I think that, you know, the expectation is that humans eat, you know, three times a day. We have breakfast, we have lunch, we have dinner. What is just the definition of a snack that I think is most helpful is it's something that's under 100 calories, it has less than 500 milligrams of salt in it, and it has no added sugar and no fat, which really leaves you with fruits and vegetables. These are things that you can cut up and leave around the house. You can redirect kids to it. You can have discussions about when the kitchen is open and when the kitchen is closed. We have sort of developed housing and houses around the kitchen as the centerpiece. You can make sure that food is put away so that you're not seeing it as a quick grab, and talk about, you know, the amount of calories that happen when people are just idly eating, and to have, you know, food eating in the kitchen to be the rule, so that we're not eating in front of the TV, we're not eating while we're doing our homework, because these are unconscious calories that lead to the overconsumption of calories, which leads to excess weight in a developed country as we are right now.
Well, and I think that that's an important piece of information to make clear, that kids are going to mindlessly eat because it's just part of the culture, and they see all the ads for, you know, potato chips and this and that, and when they're very busy on the internet and they're doing all of their things, it's just very easy. So we have to explain to them about, you know, what's going on in the country, and really that eating is for when you're hungry and keeping the metabolism up, but that you don't want to do that mindless eating, because once you start that habit, it's very hard to stop.
It's very true. And oftentimes keeping a diet history, which is it's hard to motivate people to do it. Although I had a mother recently had a great idea, which is she just snapped pictures, because, you know, everybody's snapping pictures of what they eat to share with their online social media. So, you know, snap a picture of everything that you eat for 2 or 3 days and take a look at that. And you could do it as sort of a family, you know, a family kind of either, you know, wow, or, you know, educational, you know, moment to say, you know, take a picture of everything you eat for a few days on an average day, and then sort of go back and, you know, critique and or educate. And everybody can do it, parents included, so that you can look at, because if you don't write it down, if you don't notice it, all this sort of unconscious, you know, because when we're at work, we'll grab something from the break room, somebody brought cookies, or, you know, somebody has this, that, or the other. You know, adults do it too, and, you know, involving kids in a family discussion about eating habits and talking about the way food is engineered to really appeal to us from a, you know, brain chemistry way, you can't just eat one potato chip, because they're fatty and they're salty and they're crispy and they're very reinforcing. So it's almost like having to shut the TV off, you know, to stay away from the foods that are so, you know, rewarding to us, both physiologically and nutrition, you know, not nutritionally, but taste, you know, taste and sensation.
That's right. And another thing that I like to tell parents, even of adolescents, is if your child is mindlessly snacking and, you know, you don't want them to get into these habits, and they're maybe not exercising as much as you think that they should because they're busy with homework and they're doing their activities and whatever, everybody in the family get a pedometer and wear it and say to your teenager, I want to see how many steps you're getting in a day. I want to see how many steps you're getting in a week. And let's see if your little 9-year-old sister is getting many more than you, then there's a problem with that. So, you know, and kids like a little competition too, a little friendly competition. It's kind of a way to get the whole family involved. Maybe you get to pick what movie we're going to see this weekend, whoever wins those, you know, steps. So those are all good things that you can do with those faux pas of adolescence. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer-friendly website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.